This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. More on the Budweiser Sports Line on Sports Radio 740.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. So glad you're with us here today on this beautiful Friday morning here in central Alabama. Taking it's beautiful over in Atlanta as well, just 150 miles away where Barry is stationed at about the midway point, maybe a little closer to Montgomery, I imagine. Here's our man, Bill Cameron. We enjoy having him on and certainly glad he's with us here today on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Bill, how you doing, my friend?
Good, John. That's Greg Rowley you were trying to think of a little while ago.
Exactly.
Greg Rowley, one of the founders of the original members of Santana, lead singer for Evil Ways, Black Magic Woman, Oyekomo Vi, then one of the original founders of Journey,
yes.
Lead singer till Steve Perry came along.
Yeah, I have never heard of him in my entire life.
Oh, come on, Barry.
Yeah.
Greg Rowley, seriously, man. I saw him with Ringo's All-Stars a couple of years ago, along with Steve Lukather of Toto. You had the
late Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
But no, Greg Rowley, you're right. He wasn't one of the big names, but I mean, he was one of the founders of Santana and Journey. So, yeah, he's a double. Two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee.
Yeah.
Well, he was one of the original founders of Santana. Why are they not called Rowley then?
Because Carlos was a little more prominent on the guitar than Greg was on the keyboard.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought it was kind of interesting that they brought him back and Steve Perry for that Hall of Fame induction. That was quite a night to say, but I could not think of that guy's name.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of curly hair, got a mustache. I think he's back with the with Carlos. I think the original Santana is back together.
Oh, wow.
And doing some stuff. So,
man, love it.
Bill, of course, with ESPN 106.7, the drive in the afternoons in Auburn. So what do you think tomorrow? Does Auburn have the wherewithal? Do they have enough left in the tank to beat South Carolina, win the SEC?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, just having the extra day and it being at home, I think is going to give them the energy. They just looked dead-legged the other night in Arkansas. But, you know, as disappointing as it sort of seems to see them limping, and literally limping, I mean, not having Anthony McLemore, but you go back to the start of the season, and if you look at the conference schedule, where would you have thought the toughest stretch was, or the toughest games, perhaps? I mean, Kentucky was going to be in Auburn. But you had the back-to-back, only time you had back-to-back road games were at Gainesville and at Arkansas. And you look now, and those teams are tied for third. So
yeah.
It's not an embarrassment to lose those. It's just really a shame when Auburn had been playing so well to lose those. But they can still cut down the nets and hang a banner if they can knock off South Carolina. They've got more than a little incentive the way South Carolina handled them the first time as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. What's a key tomorrow? Bryce Brown, is he more than just a shell of his former self with all of the injuries and the fatigue?
He surely has looked that way lately. I was totaling up the other day, and over the last four games, of which, of course, Auburn's lost three of them, Bryce and Jared Harper are combined 12 for 60 behind the arc. And they're 40% shooters, each of them, for the season. If they just get out there and shoot, hit a third of their shots, then Auburn's going to win the ball game.
I like that possibility. What about Auburn's suitability for the tournament? Do you think they have they are constructed to take a tournament format and take it into the championship game or beyond?
You know, I think it all depends on the draw and who's in the region that they're in, depending on where they are. If they run up against a team that has a combination of a really good point guard and a tall athletic front line, they're going to be in trouble. But you know, the fact that Auburn has two point guards with Jared Harper and Davion Mitchell, that really helps. In the postseason, guard play is usually extremely important.
Yeah.
They're going to need Chuma Okeke to continue stepping it up at the four or at the five where they use him. But you know, unless they run into you know, when Texas A&M is playing well, now that Texas A&M is getting scoring from their guards, they're a very, very scary team. Those type teams are the ones that are going to be the most difficult for Auburn. But they've somehow been able to hang in and rebound against everybody they played. And as you know, as big a hole as they've dug for themselves in so many ball games, you look, they're the only team in the conference that hasn't lost a double digit game this year. So they just have to avoid getting, you know, way behind early or running up against the extremely athletic front courts, which they're going to be some throughout the tournament. So, I mean, that's what's going to depend on.
Well, if they win it tomorrow, then they head into the SEC tournament. And when you talked about, you know, rest and getting their legs under them, and it has been a long season, no doubt, with you know, off the court and injuries and some of these other distractions. But I tell you, Bill, I'm amazed at what Bruce Pearl has been able to do with this team that I believe was picked to go, what, 4-14 or something?
Yeah, somebody from CBS had them 4-14. The media, I think, had them picked 9th. So you look right now, the teams at the top were picked 9th and 13th. And I think that's why Bruce said yesterday that Rick Barnes would be his choice for Coach of the Year, because Tennessee was picked 13th.
Wow.
So I tell you what, tomorrow's going to be really interesting, though. I mean, because the only four teams that have an idea of where they're going to be are the top two and the bottom two. And Auburn and Tennessee are going to finish 1-2, 2-1, whatever. And then Ole Miss and Vandy are playing for the bottom of the SEC. And everybody else could still either be, you know, you have five teams that are trying to get into the two spots where they don't have to play on the first 2 days. And then you have five other teams that are trying to avoid playing on the first day. So every game has some meaning tomorrow, really, except for the Ole Miss-Vandy game.
Bill Cameron is with us. He joins us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, ESPN 106.7 FM in the Auburn-Opelika area on the drive in the afternoon. Let's get to something I know a lot of fans are interested in. Your perception of this. If you put Cam Martin, Tarvius Whitlow, Malik Miller, Devin Barrett, Asa Martin in a big bag, maybe add Harold Joyner and Sean Shivers a little bit later on at running back for Auburn, and you jumble them up and you throw them out like it's Yahtzee or something like that. I don't see a lot of difference in skill set there at running back for Auburn. Is there anybody there that you think has a leg up or is going to come out of spring as the obvious number one at running back?
You know, I'm not really sure. I mean, we heard so much about Booby Whitlow during bowl practice, and I've heard some comments about Devin Barrett getting bigger and stronger. He looks like somebody that if he's carrying 205, and I think that's what he's telling people he weighs now, if he's 205 or more and still as quick as he was a year ago, he may have the best combination of skills to be able to be that every down back. It's going to be interesting. Gus yesterday said something about Tim Horton rotating backs. I've got a feeling that's just in the spring. It's hard for me to believe he's going to go and use multiple backs, although that might be a situation that Auburn's better suited for this year.
Not all of them, though. I mean, some.
Oh, no. Two or three.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, I snuck in a week ago to Auburn Arena to watch the basketball game, Auburn versus Alabama, and you know, packed house, all that. People were focused on the floor, but there were a lot of pictures being taken of Jared Stidham in the stands with that contraption on his shoulder. Any work for him this spring?
Well, it slings off. Gus said that he was doing a little footwork yesterday. I think he'll throw during the second part of the spring, and just but I don't think you're going to see him on the field anytime at all with the uniform. Why take a chance on that? Because they know what they have in Jarrett, and it's a great opportunity for Malik Willis and Joey Gatewood to be out there with the ones.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be interesting in the spring is that battle, Bill, between those two guys.
What do you think of Gatewood?
He's big, man. He is big. I mean, he's a good looking athlete. I know they're working on his motion, his throwing motion. He throws it funny, even though he completed nearly 70% of his passes last year. I mean, I think they want to fine tune that a little bit. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I would expect him to redshirt, but you know, he could be a guy that they could bring in that Wildcat type situation, short yardage goal line. That would be pretty difficult to stop at 235, 240 pounds and 6'5 of him, although that may end up being the way to get Malik Willis on the field throughout the ball game, short yardage, red zone, because Jarrett, you know, had that propensity to fumble the ball inside the 20 last year.
Bill Kerman joining us here this morning. I wanted to ask you about your thoughts about Alabama's basketball team. You know, had spurts throughout the year. They've looked really good. They've looked really bad. The loss to Auburn at Auburn Arena, they looked bad. Their loss against Florida the other night, they looked like
terrible.
They quit, that they had packed it in. What do you see in Avery Johnson's team?
You know, it's really been crazy to figure out. Remember, the win over Auburn came without Colin Sexton, and the feeling was maybe they distributed the ball a little bit better without Colin, because at times it looked like everybody was just standing around waiting for him to do something. The team's way too talented to have lost, 13 games now? That's
yes.
Unbelievable that they've lost 13 games. They are probably the most – I mean, what a great compliment this is. Hey, they're the best 13-loss team in the country. but there's no way they should have lost much more than half as many as they have. They have – you know, Dante Hall has gotten so much better inside. You just – some guys become invisible every once in a while. Braxton Key, oh, yeah, I forgot he's still there on the team. You know, John Petty went off against Auburn, and sometimes he just has difficulty getting the ball. But then when he goes on the road, he's been shooting worse than what I was saying that Jared Harper and Bryce Brown have been doing. He's shooting, 18% on the road this year? I mean, some of it is youth, but it's not all of it. There's still no reason this team should be struggling as much as they are. And they look like, they look like they're ready for this to be done.
Okay, final question here, Bill Cameron. The guy's name is Greg Rolie. Greg Rolie?
Yeah.
I got to Google.
Yeah, R-O-L-I-E, I believe.
I think
okay.
Hey,
all right.
Bill,
that one's a new one.
I did have one I wanted to run by you. Just, I want to get your thoughts about this. About a month or so ago, we asked a couple of these guys that from Auburn, from websites that cover Auburn athletics, about Bruce Pearl and his future. And I was a little surprised at their answers, that there was some doubt still today about Bruce Pearl's future. What are your thoughts about his future at Auburn?
I think there still has to be a little doubt, because he has not had that really long time with the administration, and if the NCAA comes in. The problem is, guys, the first problem from the outset was in his contract. It says if there is any situation, anything that comes up with the NCAA, he's responsible for it. So even if he had no knowledge of anything that Chuck Person was doing, if it turns into an NCAA problem, there is at least in black and white the opportunity to do something. And what kind of pressure is Auburn going to get to make a move there? I think the seasons Auburn has had is making it more difficult, and I think it doesn't look like Bruce Pearl and Stephen Leith have an antagonistic relationship, but I think it's been more than a little frustrating to Stephen Leith that he doesn't have answers from Bruce Pearl, but Bruce is trying to win basketball games right now. So I guess you've got to say there's still a little bit of doubt, but if they don't have something, if they don't really have something, some serious, legit grounds to make a change, there's going to be a lot of noise coming from this part of the country if they decide to change and get rid of Bruce Pearl.
ESPN 106.7 FM, Bill Cameron hosts The Drive every weekday afternoon, and always enjoy getting a chance to visit with you, Bill. Hopefully we'll make it again soon. Appreciate you.
Hey, yeah, maybe this summer we can have you back. Well, we'll definitely have you on before that, but maybe one day this summer we can just have an 80s music marathon trivia day.
There you go. We'll send Barry, you know, like the old days, Barry, we'll send Barry out on to go do everything while we sit back in the studio.
Yeah, I love it. Sounds good, my man.
Appreciate you, Bill. Thank you.
I think he's talking about that College World Series you went to.